Eight. Out of control. When I walked into the schoolyard on Thursday morning, I noticed something odd. At least half the kids were wearing tie-dye, like I had worn yesterday. Oh, wow. I had started a trend. Another was that everyone wanted to talk to me. "I brought hummus for lunch today, Becca," cried a fourth-grade boy. "Do you like hummus? I'll share." "Becca, can you come over after school?" a first grader asked, pulling on my sleeve. "My mom said I could invite you. Louie, my schnauzer, wants to meet you."
"Becca, do you play pickleball?"
"Becca, will you accept my Friendstagram request?" Everyone was crowding around. It was a bit claustrophobic, if you want to know the truth.
"Becca?"
Principal Bort called from the school entrance, motioning me forward. "Excuse me, I need to get through," I told the mob of kids, hurrying to the door. "Good morning, Principal Bort."
"It's Mort," he reminded me. "And look what I brought to show you."
He pulled out a half-finished green and blue scarf. It had a bunch of large holes in it.
"Not bad, huh?"
he said.
"My therapist recommended I try knitting to de-stress."
Did I want to know about Principal Mort and his therapist? Not really. Thankfully, the bell rang, and I raced to my classroom.
"This morning," Ms. Michaels said as I took my seat, "I want everyone to read independently."
"Awesome," cheered Willow.
I love independent reading, too. I stood up to get a book from the class library when Ms. Michaels motioned for me to pull my chair up to her desk.
"I have to tell you, Becca," she said, "you remind me of myself when I was a student. Quiet, but you have a real presence. People are drawn to you. Have you thought about acting? Do you know I was an extra in Cats?"
"I didn't," I said, imagining her in a cat costume and cringing. She sighed.
"I love to sing. Teaching was my backup plan. But here I am."
"Sorry," I said.
"Maybe one day I'll audition again. Do you want to see pictures of me on stage? I have them on my phone."
"Sure," I said. I could hear Willow giggling behind her book. Once again, I walked with the three E's to the cafeteria. I was excited to get mac and cheese and sit down with my friends. As soon as we stepped into the cafeteria, I was mobbed.
"Becca, I made you a brownie. It has nuts in it, though." "Oh, no, you're not allergic, are you?"
"Becca, do you like meatballs?"
"Becca, do you want to play Monopoly?"
The kids were getting closer and closer, like zombies closing in.
"Becca, did you see my texts last night?" asked Georgette, pushing her way toward me.
I knew what she was talking about, but pretended I didn't.
"I got a lot of texts last night," I said. "I sent them at about 6, she said, reaching for me.
I twisted away from her and banged my elbow into a table.
"Ow,"
I said. The people around me gasped. The entire cafeteria got eerily silent. Then everyone started screaming.
"Are you okay?"
Emma cried.
"She's hurt! Becca's hurt!"
Elijah yelled.
"Georgette!" Harper yelled. "What did you do?"
My elbow did hurt, but I didn't want to make a big deal out of it.
"I'm fine," I muttered.
"She looks upset!" someone shrieked. "Call 911!
We need an ambulance!
Does anyone have a healing crystal?"
"I'm fine," I said, louder this time. "Can I just get some space?"
Finally, people started backing off, and I took a breath.
"I am so sorry, Becca," said Georgette,
her face drained of color.
"What happened?"
Harper asked her.
"It was an accident,"
Georgette said, her eyes filling with tears.
"I swear, I just wanted to talk to her.
I want to be invited to her party.
You heard her,
Elizabeth cried. Can everyone calm down? I said, wincing.
I'll get you your lunch,
Emma said to me.
No, no, I can get it,
I said.
No, no, I'm getting her lunch, Georgette said. I insist.
Okay, okay, you can get my lunch, I said.
Mac and cheese, please.
On it, Georgette said, saluting me. I sat down at a table, and everyone started jostling for the two seats beside me.
That was my seat, Emma said.
No, it was mine, Elizabeth said. I'm her best friend, Harper said.
I never get to sit next to her, said Zuri.
I closed my eyes. I wanted them all to be quiet. Sure, I'd wanted to have friends, but these people didn't give me a moment to myself, and they weren't even real friends. They just wanted to be my friend because of the bracelet. If I took the bracelet off, would they still like me? I shook my head. No, they wouldn't. They had never been interested in me before. Even Harper would probably dump me again. Then I wondered, did it matter why they wanted to be my friend? Who knows why people want to be friends with each other? Sometimes it's because they've known each other a long time. Sometimes it's because they're in the same class. Sometimes it's because their parents are friends. Sometimes it's because they both like Legos and are too shy to talk to anyone else. In this case, it was because I was wearing a magic bracelet. What's the difference?
Here's your lunch, said Georgette, appearing with a tray of mac and cheese.
But just as she was putting it down, Emma was standing up, and the two of them collided. The tray went flying. My mac and cheese soared through the air like orange confetti and landed all over everyone in the vicinity. There were shrieks.
Oh no! Becca's lunch! That was not my fault, called Emma.
Georgette burst into tears.
I'll get you a new one, said Daisy.
No, I will,
said Elijah.
I'll get my own lunch, I said, annoyed and, honestly, very, very hungry.
We'll clean up the mess, said Harper. Georgette was still sobbing.
Now she's never going to invite me to her party.
She was right about that, at least. I stormed over to the now quiet lunch line. Shep was the only one in front of me. I took a deep breath and tried to calm down.
Hi, Becca. I'm almost done with the snake picture for you, he said.
Oh, amazing, I said, focusing on him. You're so good at drawing. He blushed.
Thank you.
Your drawings are so realistic. Does everyone ask you to draw stuff for them all the time?
Huh? No, not really. I don't show people my stuff.
Why not? I asked.
I don't know. I guess not everyone likes bats as much as I do, and no one ever asks to see them. I don't have as many friends as you do. I don't know why I showed you, to be honest.
He shrugged. I was scared to. He was?
Well, I'm glad you did, I said. Oh, Shep, listen, I'm having a birthday party on Saturday. Can you come?
Saturday? Yes, I can.
He smiled.
I'll text you the information.
I don't have texts, he said.
Oh, right. I wasn't the only person without a phone.
I'll email it then.
Great. Thank you.
He turned to Ms. Debno.
One turkey sandwich, please.
She smiled and handed it to him.
Bye, Shep said to me. See you in class, and at your party, and tomorrow.
He picked up his tray and headed to the checkout. I watched him walk to the other side of the cafeteria. He sat at the corner of a table by himself. He was eating all alone? Didn't he have anyone to sit with?
Becca, said Ms. Debno.
I turned back to her. Why did you send someone else to get your meal? Didn't you want to say hi? Are you upset with me or something?
Wait, what?
I didn't send someone else. She wanted to get me lunch because I bumped my elbow and...
Was this really happening? The lunch lady sniffed, and her lower lip trembled.
I thought maybe you were mad at me.
No, of course not. But can I get a bowl of mac and cheese, please?
Sure, one bowl of mac and cheese. Can I give you something else? Anything. Oh, how about an oatmeal cookie?
There are oatmeal cookies on the lunch menu?
She leaned closer to me. No, but I made some for myself, and you should try one. Let me give you a delicious cookie.
No, thanks.
Please, take a cookie. You have to take a cookie.
Okay, I'll take a cookie.
Give me the cookie.
She smiled and put a bunch of cookies on my tray. They were golden brown with dark orange chunks of raisins? I wasn't sure. Anyway, I probably wasn't supposed to take cookies from the lunch lady's personal stash. I mean, she wasn't a stranger, so I wasn't worried about being poisoned. But still, it seemed wrong, and the cookies did not look good.
Try them,
she said. Right here?
I'm going to eat the mac and cheese first, if that's okay. But I want to see if you like the cookie. Take a bite.
I paused. I took a small bite. It was gross. Like, really, really gross. I fake smiled. Her face fell.
What's wrong? You don't like it?
I'm not a big cookie fan, I lied.
You don't like it? Oh no, that's terrible. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
She started to sob, and her mascara smeared down her face.
It's okay. Don't cry. It's delicious. I'll have another bite. See? Look at me loving the cookie. I'm eating the cookie. I am eating the cookie.
I shoved another four bites into my mouth and chewed.
Delish! Best cookie ever!
Miss Debno wiped her tears away with the back of her gloved hands.
Really?
Really, I said. I'm going to check out now, okay? She nodded.
It's on me.
No, please. My mom said she would pay for school lunches this week.
I insist.
I did not feel like fighting, so I thanked Miss Debno, backed away from the counter, and hurried back to my seat. The three E's, Harper, Zuri, Daisy, and Corinne all crowded around and asked me if I was okay. I nodded, took one bite of mac and cheese, and felt a tap on my shoulder. I turned around. Georgette was standing there, her eyes red from crying.
Harper and I cleaned up the mac and cheese,
she told me.
I'm really sorry for everything.
I swallowed. It's okay.
Then can I come to your party?
I sighed. Yes, Georgette, you can come to my party. She smiled and gave Harper a thumbs up.
Me too?
Asked two random fourth graders who were hovering nearby. You too? I said. Why not? I spent the rest of the day dodging my fans, aka every kid in school. In class, Ms. Michaels showed me at least 60 more of her photos, including a baby picture of her dressed as a sunflower. I was exhausted by the time I met my mom in the yard. Is it okay if I skip Hebrew school today? I asked. I'm really tired.
No problem, she said. I had a long day, too. I got into an argument with the school crossing guard. She was rude to one of the kids for no reason.
That's when I noticed my mom's outfit. She was wearing light blue jeans, a gray t-shirt, and a red hoodie, which was exactly what I was wearing. Exactly. She linked her arm through mine.
Did you copy my outfit?
I asked.
Oh, yeah. She smiled. I thought we could be twinsies again. Aren't we so cute? Where did you even get those clothes? I wondered. Are they new? Yep, I did some shopping on my lunch break. I wanted to surprise you. I didn't want to tell her that she was weirding me out, but she was weirding me out. Did I want to be twinsies with my mother? I know what will perk us up, Mom said. Want to try a Bikram yoga class? No, thanks. Ooh, maybe we should get matching haircuts. This was getting surreal. The bestie mom, the zombie friends, all Ms. Michael's pictures. No, thanks. Can we just go home? You know, I still need to buy you something for your birthday. What would you like? More tie-dye? A Lego set? I stopped. This was my chance. What about... Yes? A phone, I said. She hesitated, then nodded. Okay, I'll get you a phone. My heart sped up. An iPhone? An iPhone, she repeated. Really, truly? I squealed. If it makes you happy, yes. You're the best, Mom, I said. So I can get it now? Sure. Let's go to the store. I felt sorry for doubting the bracelet. It really was amazing. As soon as I got home, I set up my new phone and added the Friendstagram app. I logged in. I had 167 friend requests. 167? Did I even know 167 people? Who were these people? I scrolled through the requests. Kids from my grade, kids from fourth grade, kids from third grade. Were third graders allowed on Friendstagram? Did their parents know they were on there? Did I even want third graders to follow me? I looked over at Twinkle. He continued to swim around his bowl and ignore me. Good old Twinkle. I called my dad. I got his voicemail. Hi, Dad. I got a new phone. Yay. So call whenever you want, okay? Love you. Sometimes I thought my dad didn't call me on the house phone that much because Mom might answer and they'd have to talk. So now that I had my own phone, would he call all the time? Who are you calling? My mom asked, coming into my room. Oh, just Dad, I said. But I got his voicemail. He's probably at work. You know how he is when he's working. Forgets everyone else, even his family. My shoulders clenched. My mom never said stuff like that. You'd think that if your parents got divorced, they'd always be talking badly about each other. But not my parents. It's not like they're best friends or anything. But I once overheard my mom tell Bubby that Mom's therapist said it was important for kids not to hear their parents badmouthing each other in a divorce. That's what friends are for, according to the therapist. In this case, I did not want to be treated like a friend. He basically disappears, my mom continued, forgets that his responsibilities aren't just financial. She shakes her head. Don't you agree? She wasn't wrong, but I didn't like hearing it from her. I hated that it felt like my dad was the only person in the world not reaching out to me. Everyone wanted to be my friend. Everyone except him. I touched the bracelet. I wished the magic could travel to California. I shook my head. Speak one wish to make it true. If only I had another wish.